Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. And here we're going to pause in the reading of God's word. Join me now as we pray together. Father, as we now look at this beautiful psalm, as we contemplate the words that David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, wrote down, expressing the prayer of his own heart, that we may learn from that, Lord, what you would have for us to learn. And so, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, would truly be pleasing unto you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever had a conversation with yourself? Well, most likely you have, because that's normally what we do when we think, right? Have you ever had a public conversation with yourself? Well, maybe, but usually when people have public conversations with themselves, you kind of start getting a little suspicious and worried about them, right? When you call the men with the little white coats on. But this is really exactly what we have here in this psalm. It's a public conversation. David is sharing with us the thoughts of his heart. Now, I shudder to think what would happen if some of our conversations were ever to be penned down and made public. Unless, of course, it's something like we have in Psalm 103, the expression of praise and gratitude for all the benefits that God has given us. That's the main point of this psalm, really found in verses 1 and 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And then he repeats it in reverse fashion. All that is within me, that's the same as my soul. My entire being, everything that I am, let it bless the Lord. Now, how in the world can we bless God? We think of God blessing us, right? When God pours good things upon us, but He looks at our condition. He looks at the state of our being and what we are, and He sees we have need. We are greatly in need of all sorts of things. And God, out of His abundant goodness, responds accordingly. Well, if you think of blessing God in that same sense, we look at God, we look at who He is, what His character is, that He is worthy of praise, and therefore we respond according to that, and we offer Him praise. So when it says, bless the Lord, it's saying, praise the Lord. Let us do that which pleases Him. And one of those things that pleases Him, David mentions, is forget not all His benefits. We are so prone to forget, are we not? We are so forgetful, especially when it comes to remembering the blessings of God. I like the line in the hymn that we sing often, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. We are not only prone to forget, we are prone to wander. Spurgeon makes a comment on this that I think is worth noting. He's got a great commentary on the Psalms, and this comes from his commentary. He comments on this, and he says about David, the psalmist, he soliloquizes. Now, that's a big old fancy word. He talks to himself. He expresses himself openly. He holds self-communion and exhorts himself as though he felt that dullness would all too soon steal over his faculties. In other words, he realizes he's prone to wander. He's prone to forget. As indeed it will over us all unless we are diligently on the watch. And that's what David is here. He is diligently on the watch that we not forget his benefits. In fact, it's such a we're so prone to this that God reminded his people in the Old Testament, remember, when they entered the land, he told them in Deuteronomy 6, and this is well worth noting as well, when the Lord your God brings you into the land, Moses is quoting God, into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you, with great and good cities that you did not build, houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. And when you eat and are full, he warns them, take care lest you forget the Lord. You know, oftentimes when we're doing well, when everything's going smoothly and good, it's so easy to forget the benefits of the Lord. So then, this morning, I want us to focus on those particular benefits that he mentions right here, verses 3 through 5. There are actually five benefits listed here that I want us to touch on real quickly. And notice, this is not an exhaustive list by any stretch of the imagination, is it? In fact, it's just a mere sampling of the benefits that God has granted and given graciously to us. Again, let me quote from Spurgeon. He says here, in typical Spurgeon fashion, here David begins his list of blessings received, which he rehearses as themes and arguments for praise. In other words, as we rehearse these benefits, they are motivations for us to bless God and praise Him for these things. And he continues, he says, he selects a few of the choicest pearls from the casket of divine love, threads them on the string of memory, and hangs them about the neck of gratitude. Isn't that a beautiful word picture? This morning, I'd like for us to look at a few of those strings on that, a few of those gems on that string of memory, and let them hang about the gratitude of our neck, as he put it. So first of all, the first point for us to look at here is that we should remind ourselves that God has forgiven you all your sins. God has forgiven you all your sins. And don't underestimate that little word, all. Past, present, and future. Our sins have been atoned for through the blood of Christ if you have received Him by faith. This benefit, without which none of the others really matter, right? I mean, what good is it if we have all of the blessings of the world, to borrow the words of our Savior Himself in the Gospels, when He said, what should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? I mean, worthless. The benefit of salvation, of having your sins forgiven, is an amazing thing that we should never, ever take for granted. When we sing about amazing grace, we need to, as Michael Horton says, put the amazing back into grace. It's the first in order because it's the first in value, we could say. It's a benefit that God has accomplished for us. How did he accomplish this? The word benefit is a beautiful word. It means something that has been provided you on your behalf that you didn't deserve or earn. It's a benefit that's been graciously given. And how are our sins forgiven? Keep in mind, God just doesn't forget about sin. Sin is not merely evaporated and erased away. No, that would fly against the justice of God. You see, God is not only merciful and gracious, he's also a just God. And divine justice demands that justice be carried out. That's why this is such an amazing benefit. You see, the debt that we owed, because that's what sin is in reality, it is a debt that we owe God that we can never pay. That's why one of the versions of the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our debts. Those are our sins, our trespasses that we have. You see, someone stepped in and paid that debt on our behalf that all our sins could be forgiven. The Lord Jesus Christ did this. And in that regard, God could not only be the justifier, but his justice remains intact because Jesus suffered that debt, paid that debt, and received that wrath in our place. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember your sins are forgiven. But the second thing is this. Remind yourself that God heals all your diseases. Well, what do you mean God heals all my diseases? People die of disease all the time. Well, first of all, we remember that this can apply more broadly, as Isaiah reminds us, by his stripes we are healed, not merely physically, but this applies to our soul healing. Salvation is referred to or viewed as in the sense of a spiritual healing. The sickness of death in our souls is healed by the forgiving and regenerating grace of our God. It is a benefit indeed for which to be thankful. But it also applies to our physical bodies. Whenever you've been sick and you've been healed, how did that happen? Well, the doctor prescribed me some medication, right? And I was healed. Well, God uses those secondary means, but ultimately, your healing is from God. But even more so, you say, well, don't people die from physical illnesses? How then can they be healed if they die of cancer? It is a good question. But if you understand it from the more eternal perspective than the earthly temporal perspective, we come to the point to understand that death really, for a believer, ushers in the ultimate healing. Think about that. Our life on this earth is merely temporal. All the sicknesses that occur are only in this world and in this life. Full and ultimate healing will come for every child of God when we receive that new body at the resurrection. There will be no more sin. You see, by the way, sin is the reason that there exists not only death, but sickness in this world. When sin is finally eradicated, so will all of its side effects. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. What a day that will be. God himself is our healer, ultimately, and even in this life. Salvation is instantaneous, but healing may come now, but may be delayed. But it will indeed come from God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And remember that God is the one who will ultimately heal all your diseases. Thirdly, remind yourself that God redeems your life from the pit. What does that mean? Well, first of all, understand this. We are deserving of the pit, right? He redeems our life from the pit. We deserve the pit. But in His goodness and in His grace, He redeems. That's a beautiful word, to be redeemed. But what is the pit talking about? Well, maybe your translation reads destruction. The word can refer to destruction in a broad general sense, but in particular, the destruction that is deserved of every one of us. The decay of the grave could be referred to. The abode of the dead, the dungeon of despair for those who are sinful and in rebellion against God. All of that applies, and we are all by nature deserving of this. But by the grace of God, He has redeemed sinners. Are you one of those redeemed? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ and in Him alone for your salvation? What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be have a ransom paid, if you will. The image of the slave market comes to view. The slave is ransomed. He's redeemed from his condition and he's set free. We have been redeemed from the bondage of our sin, the penalties and the shackles of destruction. How? Because Jesus Christ satisfied that justice, as we noted just a while ago. He went to that pit in our place so we wouldn't have to. How can we not give Him praise and bless Him for this? Death no longer has a hold on you because it didn't have a hold on Him. And when we are in Christ, His benefits apply to us. Never forget that the price of your redemption has been paid. Number four, remind yourself that God crowns you with steadfast love, with His own mercy. He crowns you. We are coronated by God Himself with such blessings. He bestows upon you and honors you. When someone is crowned, right? They're acknowledged and they're adorned with this ornament. But the word crown can also have as part of its definition the idea of not merely to adorn, but to surround you with. And God crowns you or surrounds you with what? With His loving mercy. With His, I love this Hebrew word, chesed. His chesed. That is His, it's such a fantastic word that it really can't properly be communicated with just one word in English. It refers to His covenant loyalty. God who has obligated Himself by oath to be God to His people. He is loyal to His word and He crowns you with His covenant loyalty, His loving kindness, His mercy. In fact, the word is in the plural, His mercies, because it's so abundant. You are crowned with that. Have you stopped to consider that God himself has crowned you? That's why in the book of Revelation, it's such a beautiful picture when the saints of God are casting their crowns back at the feet of Jesus. You are crowned with his grace and his love and his covenant loyalty. You are the object of God's affection. How can you not be thankful? Don't forget, bless the Lord, O my soul, and remember that you have been crowned with God's covenant love and mercy. Look at verses 8 and 11. This is just in this same psalm. Let me just refer you to this for a minute. Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. Look at verse 10. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? If he did, we would be in the pit. But he's redeemed us from the pit for this very reason, because he has not dealt with us according to our sins. Jesus took them. But verse 11 is a great verse. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As far as the east is from the west. You know what's so beautiful about that? Why he doesn't say north and south, you've probably heard it. Because once you can keep moving east in one direction, and you will always be moving east around the globe. You'll just always be moving. Or if you move west, the same thing. They never touch. But if you go north, you get to the North Pole and you keep going, you're going to start going south. It changes. Your sins have been so far removed that they will never be held against you again. Be thankful. Be thankful. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And remember that you've been crowned. And then number 5, our last point to consider in this passage. Remind yourself that God satisfies you with good. What does it mean to be satisfied? I think of Augustine's Confessions. Have you heard, you read Augustine, St. Augustine's Confessions? He's got one, this is not verbatim, but he talks about his soul being uneasy. He could not find rest in anything he had tried in life. And then he said, it was restless until it found its rest in thee, he says to God. And you know what? He found satisfaction. Only in Christ can we find true satisfaction. That's why the world sings, right? Its anthem, I can't get no satisfaction, right? That's the world's anthem. But in Christ, we are satisfied. God satisfies us. He fills us with satisfaction with himself. That's what the word here means. To be satiated. Now, many of us will be filled on Thursday, right? But that's not exactly the same kind of satisfaction we're talking about here. This is an inner being satisfaction, not the belly being filled to capacity. God satisfies you with good. That's what it's referring to. Yes, it may include some good food every now and then, right? But it's good in the sense of internal spiritual blessing. He fills you, satisfies you. One day, this temporal life will indeed come to an end. And then, as the psalmist says in another place, surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of our life, as it says in Psalm 23. But look back at Psalm 103 and verse 5. Who satisfies you with good. And look at this illustration here. How good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. That's a beautiful picture of being reinvigorated with new life. And it only is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Be thankful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. As you sit this Thursday, perhaps with family, perhaps in a small setting, whichever it may be thankful. Remind yourself of not just the material gifts that you have, but the benefits that God has given you, that your sins have been forgiven. Bless the Lord and forget not that God heals all of your diseases. Remember that God has redeemed your life from the pit, that God has crowned you with His own love and mercy, and that God is the one in whom we find satisfaction. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for just a few, for these few blessings that we were able to mention. But Lord, there are so many more. As the song says that we sing often, we have 10,000 reasons and more for which to praise You. But Lord, may it begin by knowing with certainty and assurance that our sins have been forgiven. And they are forgiven because of Christ, the one who redeemed us from that pit and is the good that satisfies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.